morning, everyone. It's good to be in the presence of God this morning, and it's good to see every one of you. So what's something you kept asking for as a child until your parents or carers finally gave in?
A record player.
Okay. And what's your favorite musician?
An iPhone.
An iPhone. I like that one.
A dog and a cat.
Oh, wow. I asked for a bicycle. And I didn't let my parents rest until I got it. Okay, so today we're going to continue on the Love Came Down series. So my name is Stephen Abbey, and we're going to look at the parable of the persistent widow. And this story is in the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. We're not going to read it, but I'm just going to, you know, have a setting the scene. So in Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells a parable to his disciples about the persistent widow and an unjust judge. The scene is set in the bustling marketplace in the first century Judean town. The dusty streets filled with merchants selling their goods, children playing, and people just going about their normal daily business. Everything looked okay and normal. But over that town presides an unjust judge who has no fear and no compassion for the people under his jurisdiction. And in the Jewish community, a judge was expected to be impartial, to judge righteously, and to recognize that judgment ultimately belongs to God. But the judge in this story is incompetent, and justice was not being served. And this parable, Jesus said it to his disciples mainly to show them that they should always pray and not give up. But then a widow repeatedly comes before the judge to plead her case. And according to the Jewish law, widows deserve special protection under the justice system. But this judge, unjust as he was, ignores her. Nevertheless, she refuses to give up. I've got some photos that I just want to use to explain what was going on. Okay, so that's the first photo, and that's the judge in all his glory, and the widow, she's the one in black, coming before the judge to plead her case. The second photo, please. And no, this is not the second photo. Yeah, so this is the second photo. She pleads her case with the judge. Help me, judge. But the judge wouldn't help her. The next one. He's running away from her. You know, and she runs after him. And the next one. And there she was. She's come again repeatedly. And the judge, she disturbed the judge so much. And eventually, the judge says to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman, she's driving me crazy, and I'm going to see that she gets the justice she wants. The widow, she gets the justice she wants, and then Jesus explains his point. If an uncaring, unfit, ungodly judge answers with justice in the end, how much more will a loving and a holy father give what is right to his children? And this leads me to the topic of the message, persistent prayer. Shall we pray? Father God, we commit ourselves into your hands this morning. And as we listen to your word, O God, open our hearts to learn from you. And let your Holy Spirit guide us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I checked Google for the meaning of persistence. And Google tells me to be persistent means to continue to do something or try to do something even when it is difficult. It requires a lot of determination, perseverance, resilience, and steadfastness. And persistent prayer is the practice of praying consistently and faithfully without giving up and maintaining the belief that God will answer. Let's look at two other examples of people who were persistent in the Bible. So the first story I want to share with you is the Canaanite woman. This story is in the book of Matthew chapter 15. So this woman's daughter was poorly, and she approached Jesus for help. But there was no response from Jesus. And his disciples, they got fed up of her, and they said to Jesus, please chase her away. And then Jesus said to her, I am not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Nevertheless, the Canaanite, she did not give up. She kept on asking, and she worshipped Christ, saying, Lord, help me. And then Jesus said to her, it is not right to give children's bread to dogs. And she said, yeah, fair enough, that is true. But even the dogs, they eat the crumbs that fall off their master's table. And Jesus said to her, woman, great is your faith, and be it unto you as you wish. And her daughter was healed. Another example, at the pool of Bethesda, so the Bible says there was a great multitude of disabled people waiting for the moving of the pool. And an angel of the Lord would come down at a certain season and move the pool, and whoever got in first got healed. But there was a certain man who had an infirmity for 38 years. 38 years, this man was waiting for his miracle. 38 years seems to be like a long time to me. And I'm sure there are so many people in this room who are less than 38 years old. So 38 is a long time. But this man never gave up. He kept trusting that his miracle was on its way. And one day, Jesus came into town. And his persistence paid off. Because when he met Jesus, Jesus healed him and he was made whole. So why do we have to pray persistently? Number one, being persistent in prayer strengthens our faith. Persistent prayer serves to reinforce our faith by reminding us of God's presence and his willingness to respond to our needs. Each time we pray, especially when we face delays or challenges, we are given an opportunity in God's timing and faithfulness. Number two, persistent prayer, it helps deepen our relationship with God. Engaging in persistent prayer, it helps to foster a closer relationship with God, and it allows us to maintain our focus on him rather than on our circumstances. And number three, being persistent in prayer, it aligns our hearts with his will. Prayer is not merely about asking for what we want. It is about aligning our desires with God's will. Now, at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus prayed and fasted 40 days and night. And on many occasions during his ministry, Jesus separated himself. He would go into the wilderness and he would pray. Jesus gave himself completely to prayer. So prayer is a dialogue between you and God. It is an invitation to God's presence and dominion over our lives. We are called to a lifestyle of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray continually. But the big question now is, does God answer all our prayers? So we do not always get the results that we want when we pray. But God hears and listens to all our prayers. The Bible says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The, our definition of immediate justice is not the same as the Lord's definition. The parable of the persistent widow demonstrates that effective prayer, it requires a lot of tenacity and faithfulness. And the genuine disciple of Christ must learn never to give up and to have an absolute trust and faith in God. So we can count on the Lord to answer our prayers when, where, and how He chooses. God expects us to keep asking, seeking, and praying until the answer comes. I just have a bit of water. Now, when we pray, there are three answers that I believe we can get from God. It's not really binary. You know, it's not yes or no. But it could be yes, it could be wait, and it could be no. These are the very three likely answers we will get from God every time we pray. But let's look at each of these responses from God. Let's start with yes. So how many of us would always like to get a yes answer to all their requests? Be honest. You want all yes. Well, fair enough. But that's not always the case. We don't always get yes when we pray. Sometimes God's response to our prayer instantly can be yes. But it's not always the case. And the response, yes, from God is more associated with new believers. Because at the point of becoming a new believer, your heart is really aligned with the word of God and you're in a place of repentance. And God wants new believers to learn to trust Him, to affirm their new identity in Him, and to build their faith, to strengthen their relationship with Him. So, for example, Zacchaeus, when he became a new believer, his heart was aligned with God. And Zacchaeus, he recognized his shortcoming. And he said to Jesus when he met him, yeah, I've not lived a good life. Yeah, he has cheated people. And he said, half of my wealth, which he illegally acquired, I will give it away to the poor. And all those he has cheated, he would repay them four times. And Jesus responded instantly, today, salvation has come into your house. So every time a new believer prays that prayer of repentance, the answer is guaranteed yes, because God wants everybody to be saved. The next response, wait. And this is the response that most of us we get as you grow in the Lord and you become matured in the Lord. And when the answer is wait, we need patience. And unfortunately, patience just seems to be something so many of us don't have. And patience is a virtue. And patience is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And we should desire patience because it allows us to wait on the Lord. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Sometimes when we pray and we wait, we may not feel as if anything is happening. It may just appear like the windows and the doors of heaven are shut towards us. But that does not mean God is doing nothing. In fact, when we pray, so many times we don't see what God is doing with our prayers. So let me give a story in the Bible to demonstrate this. The fact that we don't see does not mean God is doing nothing. So there was a time the king of Syria would plot against the king of Israel. And God would reveal the plans of the king of Syria to Elisha, the prophet. And the prophet would go down to the king of Israel and tell him what the king of Syria was planning to do. And the Syrian king got so frustrated, and he sent his army to arrest Elisha the prophet. They got there to arrest the prophet, and early in the morning, his servant woke up and he saw that they were surrounded by the army of Syria, and he was so afraid. I would be afraid if I'm surrounded by an army. I mean, it's normal. And he ran to the prophet. He said to the prophet, to Elisha, afraid, what shall we do? But the prophet could see what the servant could not see. And he said to him, just calm down, because those that are with us, they are more than those that are with them. And the Bible says, Elisha prayed, and he prayed, God, open his eyes, let him see. Elisha could see, but the servant could not see. And he said, open his eyes, let him see. And the servant could see that Elisha was surrounded by horses and chariots of fire. So the fact that we pray and we're waiting and we can't see, God is always doing something. And of course, we know there are oppositions to prayer and even to God's promises. I'll talk about that later. But as the mountains surrounds Jerusalem, God surrounds his own people. Waiting on the Lord, it brings benefits. It helps us to grow spiritually, and it helps us to reflect on our journey with God and to exercise our faith in God. The last response, no. So the response, no, when we pray, it's associated more with the majesty of God as our Heavenly Father. God has the final authority over our life because we are his children. And when the answer is no, we need obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And when the response from God is no, it is not an act of rejection. It could just be an act of love. I remember a couple of years ago, I was home alone with my daughter, Stephanie. At the time, she was 7 years old. And Sally had gone away with the boys. So I had the fortune to be alone with Stephanie for 5 days. And when they left, Stephanie came to me, you know, dad and daughter relationship, very special relationship. And she said to me, Dad, we're going to have a good time. I'm like, yeah, we are. But the first test to our relationship came lunchtime. And I'm like, Stephanie, what do you want for lunch? And she looked at me, I want Haribo. Haribo. Who gives their daughter Haribo for lunch? And I'm like, oh, it just felt like, oh, this is a heartbreak for me. Because my first response to her alone is going to be a no. I can't give you Haribo for lunch. And I said to her, you know what? I've got other plans. And I made very nice. Daddy made Costco chicken nugget and chips. I think that's a lot better than Haribo. So sometimes God says no. No does not mean God is rejecting us. God may say no to request because he has greater long-term purpose for an individual's life. God knows what is ultimately best for you. And God could say no to protect you from unforeseen dangers. And God may just want you to go in a completely different direction. But we just have to trust and believe in God. There are examples of people that I want to share with you from the Bible that God said no to. So Moses prayed to enter the promised land. That's a good prayer. There's nothing wrong in wanting to go into the promised land. But God denied his request. And God said to Moses, hand over to Joshua. You fulfilled your own purpose. And God denied the request. Paul prayed 3 times, God, remove the thorn in my flesh. But God responded, my grace is sufficient for you. And God's grace is sufficient for every one of us. On the cross, Jesus prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass over me. Nevertheless, not my will." Ultimately, God did not answer that prayer in the way Jesus said it, because God has a better plan. Jesus died on the cross, and on the third day, with a strong power, God raised him from the dead, and today he's alive forevermore. God's plans are often larger and more significant than what we can understand. No from God might prevent us from missing a more important aspect of his design for our lives. And God's ultimate purpose is to make people to live a holy life. And this leads to greater joy and purpose, and even saying no in the short term for our short-term desires. God has a better plan. God says, "I know my thoughts towards you. They are plans of good, not evil." Now, let's look at some opposition to prayer. Because, yes, there are opposition to prayer. And we cannot be ignorant of these oppositions. Let me start with Daniel's prayer. So Daniel prayed. And when Daniel began to pray, God gave the angel an answer to his prayer. But for 21 days, the angel was captured by the prince of Persia, and the angel could not deliver the message for 21 days. But Daniel never gave up. He kept praying until the answer came. And another situation, everything was going okay for the church. The prayers were being answered. The church was growing and multiplying. The needs of the church was being met. And then suddenly, the devil inspired Herod, the king. And the Bible says, Herod, he stretched his hands into the church. And he took James. James was one of the disciples of Jesus. He took James and he killed him. And he saw that the church did nothing. These are strong oppositions that church faced these days. And when he killed James, he saw the church did nothing, and then he took Peter. Peter was the head of the church, that you know, the head disciples. But the church lifted their voice and they prayed. And Peter was set free. And no wonder Paul prayed with the Thessalonian church. He said, "God, deliver us from wicked and unreasonable people." Because when we choose to follow God, we face a lot of opposition. Jesus described the devil, and he said, "The thief, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I come to give you life." And Peter went ahead to talk about the devil. He says, "The devil, he roams around like a roaring lion, just looking for whom to devour." I mean, what kind of creature is the devil? Everything that stands for God, he opposes. Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 tells us this. And he goes about deceiving people. And the devil wants to disconnect us from God. But what shall separate us away from the love of God? Nothing shall separate us away from the love of God. After praying and fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Satan came along to tempt Jesus. And at the third temptation, Jesus said to him, "Go away from me. There's no room for the enemy in his life. Go away from me." And the Bible says Satan left for a moment. But throughout the ministry of Jesus Christ, the devil inspired people to oppose him. If it's not the Pharisee, it's the Sadducees. If it's not the Sadducees, it's the chief priest. If it's not the chief priest, it's the traitor. If it's not the traitor, the Roman soldiers. He faced a lot of opposition. But Jesus never gave up on prayer. He continued to talk to God in prayer. Jesus said, the world will give you tribulation. But be cheerful, because I have overcome the world. And that's why we are encouraged to put on the whole armor of God. Prayer is the only offensive weapon that we Christians have. You know, that little light of yours, there are forces of darkness that do not want it to shine for the purpose of God. But we are the light of the world. Isaiah 60 verse 1, the prophet prophesied this. He said, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And unlike the devil and the unjust judge, Jesus cares for you. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is our Provider. He is our Protector. He is our Healer. He is the Great I Am. Jesus Christ, He is the Almighty God. And then at the end of the parable, Jesus presents a final quiz, and He asks a question. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will He find on the earth who have faith? Jesus wants to know if He will find any faithful prayer warriors left on the earth when He returns. Will you be among God's people who are still praying for the second coming of the Lord? Your kingdom come and your will be done. So finally, a call to reflection. So, like the persistent widow, we are dependent sinners. We trust in our gracious, loving, and merciful God. And just with as God created the heavens and the earth with His voice, and the same voice that called Noah, the same voice that called Samuel, the same voice that said, this is my begotten son in whom I'm well pleased, that same voice is just calling you again today. God is calling you, come back to your first love. Come back to having this dialogue with me regularly. And we should have no doubt in our mind that God wants us to prosper and to be in good health. And whenever we pray, we should be rest assured God listens to all our prayers. And just as the cry of a baby attracts the attention of God, your cry attracts the attention of God. And I just pray, whatever you need as an individual or as parents trying to raise your family in the way of God, I pray that our God will supply all your needs in Jesus' name.